All right. Hey, what is up, the Thodcast? Conversations about animation. This is Philip Elke, and I'm hosting from northern Minnesota. Joined today, once again, hey, Jody, hey, Bridget, how are you doing? Joining me from great state of Georgia. Some contrasting climates once again. Chicken Run sequel talk this time. We're in sequel town. We're in Oscar town. Let's see. I guess the first Chicken Run Oscars relevant, sort of, where it sort of instigated the dawn of the category. But the film we're discussing today, let's see, is not nominated. We'll hear our thoughts. Start off with you, Jody. What's on your mind today with the Chicken Run?
Well,
chat?
I was really hoping that, you know, the part two we'd be talking about today would be Dune Part Two, but we haven't watched it yet. So I guess the second best option is Chicken Run: Dawn of the Nugget. I liked it. It was fun. It was really cute. I always enjoy like having these beloved characters come back again for a second go around. This movie definitely gave me like Little Mermaid Return to the Sea vibes with the daughter mother storyline, but all in all, good. This animation's a lot of fun to watch, this claymation, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, what'd you think, Bridget? Chicken Run: Dawn of the Nugget.
So I liked it. I thought it was really funny. I've actually watched it like three or four times now. I was like, I have to refresh it again today. But it was, so it's funny. I thought that how we talked about last time, where I was like, oh yeah, she like wants to make chicken pies, like meat pies, so that the people, like, you know, people are moving towards like faster foods. And now this one with Dawn of the Nugget, obviously it focuses around nuggets. So I actually looked into nuggets, and they were made in 1950. So I'm like, this kind of tracks. They kind of like made sure historically this made sense. So I was like, good for them. But I thought it was really funny that obviously we have the same villain, Mrs. Tweety. Even though it took me a hot second to realize that her husband was not her husband from the last movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, he is
either. I thought he was
darker.
Like a little kid. Yeah.
Well, I was like, man, he is darker than I remember. And I had to like look up pictures, and I was like, okay. Different husband. Okay, cool. But yeah, I like, it's so funny that these movies were made, you know, 23-ish years apart, but they seem like the same movie to me, having watched the first one previously. And honestly, they did pretty good with the voices too. Like, I know they're not the same voice actors from before. They didn't have I think they still had Umbridge. Umbridge was Bunty.
Oh, okay.
Again, I do know that.
Bunty,
but they,
and Babs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but I know like Ginger and Rocky, they're different because Zachary Levi, obviously Eugene, Shazam, all that, he is Rocky this time. And I was sitting there, I was like, clearly it's not Mel Gibson, but I was like, man, I'm getting Zachary Levi vibes. And then I looked it up and I was right. So yeah, it's crazy like how it's been so far apart and people are different, but it seemed very much like the same characters, same movie, same universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was. Yeah, a good time to dive back in the world of Chicken Run, these beloved characters. The first one's an animated classic, stop-motion animation from Aardman, a British stop-motion animation production company specializing in claymation, and using these carbonate polystyrene. There's a mix of different materials they use, some silicon based more rigid structures in their puppetry, and some just kind of more like Play-Doh, certain body parts that they just mold by hand, frame to frame. It's and it makes for that unique kind of Gumby style. And certainly a labor of love, in the world of computers and kind of a more streamlined approach to this filmmaking process. This was definitely hearkening back to classic era cinema. But I'm sure there, I saw in the credits a lot of like rotoscoping and kind of post-production, clearly editing techniques that are applied to the this method nowadays, just to try to filter out all the tricks, I guess, to because there may be moving an element one frame at a time, but then there are other devices that are attached to the stop motion elements that get erased out, like they get filtered out in the editing process, frame by frame as well. Like each individual frame has been treated with a lot of TLC in this kind of movie. So yeah, I don't know. It was good, but it wasn't quite the classic Ring of that, original Chicken Run with the snappy writing and just inspired premise.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, it had some cool elements, like I thought they brought into it, but what I thought was kind of interesting when I was like looking into this movie a little bit more is like it some people were like posting these alarming things like it almost didn't happen because apparently like the English factory that makes the clay, like this very specific clay that Aardman likes, went out of business in between the original one and this one, the sequel. But like apparently he found out they were like starting to close their doors, so he bought 5 years worth of clay out of them, and so basically they're now having to work on their own recipe so that they can have it in bulk, but the place that they got the clay originally now is like officially cut down and closed. But he said that they still would have made it either way, but like this type of clay specifically was really good for molding and moving, and like they had a good sense of how to use it, so they bought 5 years worth. I'm not sure how much clay that would be, but I'm assuming a lot.
A whole bunch. Well, and apparently they also, I mean, they probably needed that much because they didn't have many original figures from the first movie anymore.
Why?
They lost a lot of it to a warehouse fire in like
Oh
2005.
no.
So they had to, I think they pre-production was like 2019, and so they had to basically make everything from scratch based off of reference materials from the first
I'm
movie.
picturing the models in the warehouse exploding in gravy, how it ended in the first film that we discussed, where the whole like pot pie factory explodes. And this one has a pretty cool factory too. They definitely up the ante as far as modernizing it. They have all these guards and these fancy collars, and it's definitely like they spent a lot of bucks on it. And by bucks, I mean like buck, buck.
Well, I guess Netflix is known for being willing to invest a fair amount into projects that they just kind of want to see through to completion. Their sort of financial model is, not based on the same kind of hard financial realities, it seems, is your typical box office dependent or other source of revenue dependent film studio. It's but yeah, they are the behemoth. They're the current streaming champion, so they can afford to, I guess, keep pumping out some of these really ambitious projects, similar with like the new Avatar series. I'd be curious how much that costs as well. But no, I mean, this looks great. They use the classic technology, and yeah, the I didn't know about the clay situation. Did they mention that in that making of documentary? Because there's
No,
also
I had read it in this NPR article. Sometimes before we hop on here, I just kind of see what other reviews are out there to give me, I don't know, sometimes a more of a better idea on how to formulate my own ideas, which is probably bad. But they were saying that in there. And like Oh, they said something else that was really interesting. I might remember it later on, but that's definitely where I read it, was NPR article.
Okay. Yeah, I just watched it today actually, but I was very unspoiled. I didn't even know Mrs. Tweety, spoiler alert, like she's back.
Yeah, she doesn't make
Totally.
her appearance until like
Yeah.
halfway through the movie itself. Because I was thinking, oh, they have like this new bad guy, the way Bridget was saying, like, and I didn't know he was the new husband. And immediately I was like, how is this witch like finding all these husbands? It took me like 32 years to find one, but she like she's on it. And I mean, at the end of the movie, again, spoiler alert, but it's almost like there's like a love connection with, what is it, Sir Fats-a-lot?
Reginald.
Reginald. He's like Reginald
Sir Eats a Lot.
something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're seeing in
Sir Eat
this
a Lot.
woman. And I don't see what Mrs. Tweedy is seeing in the chicken industry. You'd think she would give it up.
Money. It's money.
She
All of
has it
it is
out for chick.
money. Yeah, she's like, well, and it's so funny because she's like, oh, yeah, revenge. And he's like, revenge against what? And she's like, revenue. I meant revenue.
Yeah, she's mainly motivated by revenge, it's revealed.
Yeah.
But I mean, she clearly, yeah, has access to a lot of resources, or I don't know. I mean, yeah, this factory is, it's, more locked down than Jet Propulsion Laboratory. All the surveillance or security countermeasures that they have, just to a highly comedic degree. There's a lot of kind of just cartoon antics that kind of take front and center in this film. Not any real adherence to verisimilitude whatsoever. Despite, yeah, I feel like the first film really kind of gave the world sort of a grounded in reality type of feel. It's like a very gritty tone, but obviously very, very far flung. Comedically, realistically, just with these chickens being these anthropomorphic sentient creatures capable of advanced engineering, but also like it wasn't nearly quite as reliant on Looney Tunes just wackiness as I think this movie was. Certainly a much more colorful iteration with the modern factory aesthetics and yeah, like just the wild traps and just hundreds of security robots that are occupying the grounds of this chicken factory, for some reason, for no reason in particular, I guess.
Right. In comparison, especially like when the movie kicks off, the chickens, from movie one, they've escaped to this island and they've sort of made like huts and sort of hobbit holes and they're living in the nature, sort of like you said, kind of a little bit more of a realistic, quote unquote, like setting for the chickens. And I really did like the opening where you see Rocky and Ginger bringing this little like baby chicken to the world and they tell some jokes about it. I recently just had a baby, so I thought that part was like really fun. But she quickly grows up, Molly, to be this sort of preteen that wants to run off. And once she runs off, it gets a little kooky because even her first friend, Miss, I think it's Frizzle, right?
Oh,
Yeah, her name is
Frizz, yeah,
Frizzle.
Miss
She's wearing
Frizzle.
like
No.
a necklace and she's kind of purple and pink. She's not really a traditional chicken. And I feel
She's a
like
cool chicken.
She's not a regular chicken. She's a cool chicken. But when Molly meets that character is sort of when it, like you said, Philip, it sort of brings in the like kooky, a little bit more playful
Yeah.
stuff
Yeah,
forward from there.
you kind of she's like this kind of bohemian looking. You wonder if she's part of just some more eccentric group of chickens. So they're, either escaped flock of chickens or just some hippy dippy farm somewhere, free
They're
range.
probably
No,
like a free range, yeah, free range farm.
but I don't know. No, she's kind of another youth chick. Chicken that's on the,
Yeah.
yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know, just a convenient coincidence, I
Well,
guess
there
that's.
are, I mean, there are a lot of different chickens out there. Again, in the NPR article, I think it said there's like 1,600 different types of chicken. So Miss Frizzle very well could have fit into one of those.
But yeah, she happens to be, wanting to explore this area where chickens are being taken. Molly, the new protagonist of the film, the, oh gosh, Melody, right, is the daughter of Ariel in that this is direct-to-video sequel. I mean, yeah, this is basically a direct-to-video sequel to Chicken Run being released directly to Netflix. But I mean, same level of like production value, definitely, if not greater. I mean, probably cost more, way more to make this movie than the original Chicken Run. Just
Well,
more people involved.
Netflix has to incentivize us to keep them when they keep raising their prices. So,
oh man, that's a whole nother. Yeah, we had to do the whole sit down look at our budget and decide what streaming services we're keeping. But Netflix is one of them because they do pump out good movies now and then. And this one for sure, I mean, it was 25 years later, but I feel like they kept true, like Philip said, to that original, like high quality vibe. I mean, unless Philip, do you think like the factory and all that kookiness, do you think that kind of detracts from the movie? Do you think some of those things are cheap shots?
It's they I don't know what they could have done, honestly. They,
Well, they kind of
yeah.
did a joke that I thought they were going to do in the first one. I know last time when we talked about it, I thought they were going to do something about like why did the chicken cross the road? And Molly at the very beginning, she's like crossing the road and doesn't Frizzle go, why were you crossing the street or something like that? Because she almost gets hit by that truck. And I was like, there it is. We waited 25 years for that one.
Yeah, she made the mistake of trying to cross the road. But yeah, no, I mean, and Frizzle's gung-ho about wanting to explore this factory. Like, she thinks it's, they're seeing these trucks with happy chickens sitting in buckets. And I guess Frizzle's just so taken with the idea of having a bucket that she can roost in amongst little brown pieces of detritus. I'm guessing she's unaware, what those could possibly be. I guess I don't know. Do you see the image of nuggets depicted on the trucks themselves? I can't
I don't think you do
remember. I don't
on
think
the
so.
trucks.
Yeah.
I think they're chickens on the truck.
Industry.
And so
Yeah.
it's like a
Sort
chicken
of.
in a bucket. It's you don't see the chicken nuggets per se until they have the commercial where he's like, oh mom, these are gross. This is a fearful tasting chicken nugget. And then
Okay, and I do think okay, so I watched that little commercial, that scene. And when I was a kid, I was obsessed with chicken nuggets. And Bridget, didn't you say that your kids love chicken nuggets? What is it
Oh,
about chicken nuggets? They are or
they're
no?
great. No, they are.
Yeah,
I want it
why
because
are,
they
I wonder
are the
why
long
that food
line.
is so universally loved by kids. Chicken nuggets and hot dogs. I don't know if it's like a safe taste to them, but that is something kids
Yeah,
really love.
I think it is because it's hard to mess them up. I mean, short of burning them, it's hard to mess them up. They're not slimy, they're not slippery. You can put them in ketchup or ranch. My kids love ranch, they'll bathe in ranch if I let them. And so it's like, it's always been
Consistent.
a safe food. Yeah, like to get them to try fish sticks, I lied and said they were chicken sticks.
And
They're
they're
just
like,
like,
ooh, we love it.
chicken is safe. But like, I'm like, hey, do you want to eat this cut up chicken breast? Absolutely not. Why would you feed me this filth? And I'm like, what? It's the same thing. It's both chicken. They're like, nah, I need the crunchy bits.
It's such a diverse, I guess, menu item depending on what you're getting. I know I definitely know there's a lot of variation on
Oh,
chicken
yeah.
nuggets.
Well, you can like toss it in stuff. You can dip it in stuff. You can eat it plain. Really do
Oh
anything.
yeah,
Very
and how you
versatile.
can, yeah, exactly.
And so, like, basically in this movie, they're like, we're gonna level up this perfect food by making the chicken stress-free. And what kind of like made me sad is my sister is a vegetarian and she used to be vegan. And she would tell me, like, it's actually the animals getting stressed out before slaughter Can we say slaughter? Yeah. Okay. The animals, like when they're getting prepped to be turned into food, that stress hormone and that, like, I think it's like lactic acid maybe, or some type of pH or something that comes out in their body actually does affect meat quality, which is so sad and so scary. But this movie's premise of, relaxing the chickens, making them happy, happy chickens, like, that's really a real thing. They do try to make sure that animals are like fairly calm, fairly, not freaking out because
I
it
was
can affect
impressed
the
that
taste.
that was a plot point, and that definitely made me come on board this movie fully at that point, that I was willing to just go there. But yeah, like the tension of the muscles, I think that creates like lactic acid and stuff, and yeah, it would make sense to, it all functions to affect the overall product, but who knows, just to what extent all the various factors is, because it's just so heavily processed.
I mean
You
that too.
never know.
That's why they're always like, "Oh yeah, do get like farm raised versus like the ones that are in the companies, all the plants and things." Because my dad has worked in like some of the he does alarm stuff. He's had to go work in some of the like slaughter places, and he's like, "Yeah, it's gross." He's like, "It's not a fun place to be." And I'm like, "Ew, don't tell me. Don't tell
Wait,
me. I want to eat my chicken
why does
nuggets
he do that?
obliviously." He works in like alarms, like security
Oh.
stuff. And they have to go and like he's a service manager, so he has to go and service alarms, and they have alarms, and like there's a pig one here locally
Ooh.
in the CSRA that is like a pig slaughtering place where they go and like I don't know that I think they do kill them there, but they chop them up for all the different kinds of things they will be down the line too. So he's like, yeah, he's like they're gross places to go, they don't smell good. And I was like, ew, don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. Stop telling me things. And he's like,
I
"Oh,
don't
you want a
know
hot dog?" And I'm like, "Leave me alone. I don't want anything."
if you guys read The Jungle. I think it's Upton Sinclair who wrote it. But that was about when, in like Chicago and Detroit, when these cities had big like slaughterhouses and before unions were available, there's like chapters that talk about just the working conditions in those factories and the blood and the stick and all that. And it's just, it's gross. And yet, I mean, none of us are a vegetarian or a vegan, right? No.
No, I told you. I want to be blissfully unaware.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss. And actually, I didn't bring my notes up here because my brain is all scattered. But I wrote when I was watching the movie, I mean, if I was a chicken about to be slaughtered, I would like to have a collar on too. I would like to think that my life was good and my life was ignorance is bliss. In some ways, perception is reality. And I was like, I guess if I'm going to be a chicken at slaughter, like this is the way to go, which might be bad, but it's true for me.
Yeah, I want to be riding the teacups and then go to my death. I don't want to know what's happening. Teacups death. That's how it needs to go.
No, yeah, there's an air of humanity behind all the villains' machinations. I mean, Mrs. Tweedy encounters Ginger face to face, and first thing she says is, I gave you, the perfect life, all the chicken feed you could want. She's trying to appeal to Ginger's sensibilities as a chicken. Why would you ever want to escape the chicken farm when there's, what possible purpose in life outside of being a piece of livestock could you possibly want? But obviously the chickens found a paradise of their own, this island home where they can live, I guess, naturally in the wild. I don't know. There's nothing natural, I guess, about a domesticated chicken having to face the wilderness, but
There's
obviously
nothing natural about a
the
chicken with teeth.
Well, no.
But
I mean, nothing natural about, the way
the
a chicken.
island is like a good safe space because you think about chickens, like they probably have so many predators. There's a reason why they don't really stroll the outdoors as like a rabbit might or, a squirrel. Like a chicken is way too easy of prey. And I wonder, because to skip to the end, which I probably shouldn't do so early on, they end up be kind of coming like a vigilante for other chickens in distress and in need. And I'm like, how are they getting back and forth from their little island from safety? Are they taking
They
that little
still
boat?
have the truck.
Oh, I must have. Not everyone watched it four times, Bridget.
Well, I didn't notice the truck until this last time. So, yeah, they stole the truck that they escaped in. I don't know how they're getting gas, but
Those little
I
rats
will
probably are
suspend
finding gas. They bring the
my.
rats back in the sequel, which I think was really fun. Again, their parts were sort of my favorite. They're so schemey and scammy, but I love them.
Yeah, little hooligans. Yeah, you get these wily chickens up to their hijinks. Yeah, I'm good. I'm so happy we'll be seeing more of such plotting and shenanigans in the upcoming Wile E. Coyote versus Acme movie. Oh wait. No.
Wait, was there a rumor?
You guys know about the whole drama surrounding the new,
No.
like,
No, that I
Warner.
was like, I have not heard of
It's
this.
like a
What?
hybrid animation live action Warner Brothers cartoon having to do with Wile E. Coyote, and he is suing the Acme Corporation or something for the his yeah, poor results with their products. So I don't know. It's a film that's apparently been mostly made, but was going to be released either in theatrically by Warner Brothers or potentially on Max, but
Is it going to
it's
be an animated movie or like
a
a
hybrid.
CGI wolf?
Yeah, live action and
Coyote.
animated
Oh, like the
characters.
Chippendale, that
And
Chippendale movie that came out?
yeah, I think
Yeah.
like
Or
the hand
Space
drawn
Jam.
style. Yeah, like Space Jam kind of. I mean, yeah, it's you know that Space Jam kind of type of approach. That probably isn't going to be released as far as the current CEO of Warner Brothers is concerned. I mean, if he stays in his position, at least it might not ever see the light of day. But I guess if you got a film finished film on your hands that people might be interested in seeing, then hopefully there's hope one day.
I'm sure they'll find an outlet. I can't imagine putting so much time and money into anything and not finding a way to like profit on it and just
Well,
also get it out into the world. I mean,
yeah, is it that terrible? You people saying this new Spider-Man spin-off, Madame Web, you know, is maybe an example of a movie that should have just been locked in a vault instead of released. But now that's out and.
well, that's isn't that what happened with the Batgirl movie that they
Yeah.
were supposed to, they like did everything and then they were
Yep.
like, actually, we're not releasing it.
Yeah,
Yeah, there was a
Batgirl.
Batgirl. They like filmed everything.
It can't be
So what
released.
about the producers and the people who put money into it? Do they just want to cut their losses and say, well, we don't want to push and do this final marketing to bring the movie to the masses?
Because
I imagine it might
you
be
can,
production companies
yeah, you can
too.
claim a tax write-off if it never gets released. It becomes like a certain type of liability that can then be written off on your financial statements, and then
Oh, I know
you
all
don't
about
have to pay tax
write-offs,
you don't
honey.
have to pay
Yeah.
taxes on it. Yeah, so if they want a discount on their taxes, then they just take this thing that they dumped a whole bunch of money in and will never see a return from, and claim that as a loss, and then they don't have to pay taxes on it. Yeah, I don't. I mean, the thing is, like, the CEO of Warner Brothers is kind of one of the more, I don't know, rosy looking, at least in financial terms, of all the various media executives in Hollywood right now, because they did well financially in fiscal year 2023, I believe. So
Why?
like the
Why did they do
shareholders
so
are
well? Do we know?
well, let's see. Warner Brothers did have Barbie, and their
Okay,
movies did
that makes
okay.
sense.
Yeah,
That makes
and
sense.
what else? They don't have, they didn't have Mario. What?
Who did Oppenheimer? Did they do
That's
Oppenheimer?
Universal had
Yeah.
Mario and Oppenheimer. And Migration, I mean, that did really well.
Oh yeah, my daughter
And
watched it apparently, said it was
yeah.
hilarious. I have not watched Migration yet, but she said it was hilarious.
We got to get Scarlett on here one of these days because that sounds like a review I want to hear about.
She, I don't know, man. She's either like very enthusiastic or very blasé. She's very much a teenager, almost. I'll be like, oh, what did you think about that? It was cool. What? What?
I
That was
wonder
cool. That's
what
fine.
people thought about this Chicken Run sequel, like as far as kids go, because definitely there's people in our age group where we're reminiscent of the original. But did this movie get good reviews? Did anyone see? I mean, I saw the NPR one and I saw some like critiques, but you know, every now and then you see like a Rotten Tomato score or something like that, or the money that came in from it. Philip, do you know if it was considered a success or not? Dawn of the Nugget.
Yeah, generally positive reviews, but
Yeah, they had like an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
nothing too glowing, I don't think. I don't know, as far as did it generate buzz? Nothing on Netflix generates buzz unless it's like really viral and tends to
Like,
break it.
yeah, like every now and then. Scandalous.
Yeah, I was gonna say every now and then they'll drop something. I feel like that gets everybody talking, whether it's like a reality TV show or a scripted series or a movie. But yeah, I
Well,
definitely didn't hear people. I didn't hear like on TikTok people talking about Chicken Run: Rise of the.
weren't you feeling the Squid Game vibes though a little bit
Oh,
with the Funland
yes,
Farms? Yeah.
I watched the whole series, the scripted series, like twice, maybe even three times. And then I watched the reality show, like spin-off that they did. I loved that series.
In this movie, I mean, the Funland Farms sequences. Don't they
Oh,
remind you of Squid Game?
yeah, actually, that was what Ryan said when they all went in there. And it's that weird, kind of like pastelish bright color, and
The
everybody
color.
has a number. We also kind of thought it reminded us of the Truman Show because like they're all kind of being monitored and watched, or Big
A man
Brother
in the
kind
sky.
of. Yeah, there was definitely an element of that, but no winning. I mean, in a way, Molly wins because Ginger, well, they all win because I think you're supposed to, all the chickens survive and Miss Tweety survives to see another day.
They had to leave her alive for next time
Yeah. To
in
keep
20
their
years.
rating PG. Yeah.
Well, in 20 years, they're going to bring her back. They're going to have another sequel in 20 years.
I wouldn't be opposed. I mean, you really could continue on with this story because the way it ends, like we said, they're going out to save other chickens from other circumstances. And it's kind of that freeze frame where they're about to go in and bust up the coop. You could have a short series about this. I mean, how often do you see villain 30-minute Scooby-Doo style, save the day, but with chickens.
Well, yeah, it depends on what kind of work they want to put into more of these films. And I mean, we had the Shaun of Sheep movies more recently too, and those were great. I've seen those. And yeah, so I hope we continue to just get some great work out of the studio. Whoever's willing to put up the financing for it, Netflix or I mean, the first film was the fourth animated feature from DreamWorks. It's beginning kind of a long legacy of, well-regarded films. Some may be a little bit more populist or I don't know, trashy. DreamWorks, they're not quite as they're not going for the prestige as much as perhaps some other animation studios, but still some gems. Chicken Run, chief among them. And then, we've got the fourth Kung Fu Panda movie coming as well now. So we'll see how, I've enjoyed all three of the first Kung Fu Panda films so far. So will they be able to pull something out of their hat for the fourth? I mean, Puss in Boots was great, so it's possible. Yeah, this next film could be great as well. No DreamWorks involvement here, I don't think, with Dawn of the Nugget. It's just purely Aardman and Netflix, and yeah, we'll see what the future has in store. Would you, yeah, what I suppose short films make sense if they're raiding coops and trying to free chickens. It'd be like classic Mel
Such a silly
Gibson,
thing.
William Wallace. Yeah, they're liberating the Scottish countryside. Yeah. So I guess the cartoonishness and frivolity on the mind, all the characters survive, it would be kind of fun if there were maybe a little more stakes, because you are dealing, well, yeah, there is one character in that original film who you do see get killed during the course
The
of the
axe.
film. Yeah. That but yeah, no conf well no there is a confirmed kill here too, because you got
Yeah. She just wasn't a
the
main character.
chicken.
She
Yeah,
wasn't an established character. She was just a number.
but Mrs. Tweedy should have died at the end. I mean,
Oh, Homegirl was
does
fried. She was
yeah
battered and fried.
fryer grind gr isn't there like a grinding mechanism there too? But maybe that gets deactivated if an obstruction occurs in the device. But yeah, then she comes out all battered, and it's I mean, there's a similarly silly moment in that live action 101 Dalmatians sequel. Y'all maybe remember back from the VHS
Yes.
glory days.
Glenn
Glenn Close,
Close.
yeah, she gets turned
Yes.
into a cake in that film. So I guess
And doesn't she also get like tarred and feathered in that movie?
Yeah, essentially. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a well. Wait, in the first movie she does, but in
Oh,
the
okay. I'm like, I'm pretty
second
sure she gets
movie,
tarred and feathered at one point.
yeah, in the first movie she gets tarred and feathered. In the second movie she gets turned into a cake. And was there another live action 101 Dalmatians type of thing? Oh no! Oh yeah, Cruella with yeah
Yeah.
the what's for frickin'
Emma
Emma Stone,
Stone?
yeah.
Yeah, she's getting, it's getting a sequel.
Oh, well, I mean,
Yeah,
Emma
they're getting
Stone
another
can,
one. Yeah, with Emma Stone.
she's in demand right now, so
Yeah, well,
that's
that's like
exciting. I
really liked Cruella. I thought that was a great sort of
I did
spin-off
too.
origin story.
Out of all the live actions they keep cranking out for some reason, that one was a good one. Every time they're like another one, I'm like, no,
I
but
think
Cruella's
that's
fine. I
the
can handle
reason
that.
why it stood out to me as being better, not that we're not talking about that now, but is because it wasn't like The Lion King where they're just basically remaking the exact same story. Like with Cruella, giving an origin story, that was really fun. So like maybe, oh, maybe they should do Mufasa, but they are doing Mufasa.
They are.
So
I just
maybe
wish
they
with the
thought
Lion
that.
King they'd stop with the live action look because they look silly. They
Yeah,
just
not
look like
giving them
cats.
the animated eyes is a mistake. I will say, like in movies like Chicken Run, sometimes animated animals are like a little too animated. Like I mentioned earlier, the teeth, and I sort of feel like their eyes are very like big, but
Buggy.
then you go Lion King animation and it's just not enough.
Yeah, they went too live action with it. I'm like, I need a little bit more. Like, I'm not saying do full on cats where they're like people hybrids, but just a little something. A
I
little
mean,
something.
yeah, apparently that Mufasa is happening, and it's probably kind of a ill-advised project at this point. I mean, I don't know, because yeah, I feel like there's not a lot of enthusiasm for that aesthetic.
A lot
Just
of the
the,
upcoming
I don't
drops
know.
that Disney has announced, I'm not really feeling. And I don't know if it's just like a me thing and life being busy and like we're out of the pandemic, so I just like I'm not focused on it. But a lot of the things that they announced at D23, I was like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's so much content. You kind of
That's
have
true.
to
Maybe
just
it's content fatigue.
we just have to like wait and see what's actually good before you decide to get excited about something almost. It's like I don't
Yeah.
have time to get hyped up ahead of time just because there's so much that it's, It's like I'm constantly being overfed like a
That's how
chicken
I, yeah.
being, yes,
That's how I
prepared
feel
for
with
slaughter.
Marvel. It's like all the
And
Marvel
maybe
things. I'm
we
like, I
don't
don't need
talk
any
about
more.
Marvel all that much. I mean, we've talked about a few, but I'm just not a Marvel person because I feel like it's too late to catch up when, I mean, there's so many movies in that realm, in that world. It's one thing to be like, oh, I want to get into Lord of the Rings. It's like, okay, there's the three movies and then the
The
Hobbit
Hobbit.
movies, or like Lord, not Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, like there's the eight or whatever, Twilight. But then you look at those superhero ones and you're like, wow. But if you want to get into Chicken Run lore, it's like, okay, there's two movies I can catch up, you know? And so that's why I don't even, when it comes to things like Madame Web, I guess those things don't even like blop on my radar because I just feel like I'm like not in it. Did you happen to see it, Bridget? I know you do, you're kind of into some of the superhero stuff.
Yeah, I do. I cosplay Gwen. But
Love that.
I feel like I've fallen off of the superhero stuff too. I love Loki, but I completely forgot that they did a season two, so I haven't even watched it. But I did really like Loki. It's kind of like what you said. There's just so much content out there, and anytime someone tells me I have to watch something, my brain says immediately, no, I can't watch it now. Like my
No.
mom, she's like, watch R Righteous Gemstones. She's been saying that for like 3 years,
It's
and
so
people
funny.
keep telling me to, but then I'm like, no, no, I'm gonna watch something else. Like we've been on a really big anime kick, and a lot of times my TVs are taken over by children anyway, so I listen to a lot of podcasts and I listen to a lot of stuff on YouTube. I don't get to watch a lot of stuff generally, so I'm like, I have to be like choosy. So I was excited when I heard they were doing Madame Web because I do know the story of Madame Web and like all the like spider. The spider girls and women that are with her. But then I heard it. I was like, oh, like, okay, cool. Like, it's a movie. It's all women. Like, oh, cool. And then I heard it was absolutely trashed. And I was like, cool. Great. Good for women in
Boo women.
the superhero genre. Yay. So I'm like, I
Yeah.
probably will just wait until it goes to streaming. But honestly, I still haven't watched Morbius. And that was apparently awful and on streaming. And I haven't watched that either. So I'll get there one day.
Yeah, it's kind of just fun to see how, I don't know, what's the word? Generic, these movies are. I mean, how bad could it possibly be being based on a comic book scenario? Like that should be just, I don't know, so full of color and just creativity, no matter what you come out with. But I don't know, how do you make that uninteresting to me? That's a interesting exploration. So I'd be interested in seeing it just for that reason alone. I've seen like, yeah, the first two Venom movies and
I liked Venom. I thought Venom
Morbius.
was funny.
I mean, and like they're fine, like white noise that like for what they are, I thought they were all kind of just fun. And maybe that's just how I respond to any kind of comic adaptation, because there's inevitably some interesting facet to pull apart with any kind of comic book, just wacky scenario. So I don't know. Yeah, how bad could it possibly be? I think I'd probably have a generic sort of fast food fun time at a movie
Right.
like
I think that's
Madame Web.
definitely true. Sometimes you start hearing enough hate or like enough meh that it almost makes you kind of want to be like a cheerleader for something. I remember specifically Mean Girls the musical came out, and on TikTok people were like, "Oh, it's so cringe. It's so blah. It's so like blah." And then I went to it and I'm like, "I'm going to like this movie. Like I'm going to walk out of this theater with like something good to say because like everyone else is sort of being like boring about it." And I actually did kind of like it, but sometimes like maybe you'd go to Madame Web and be like walking into the theater and deciding I'm going to find the good in this because I know everyone else thinks it sucks, you know?
Yeah, and I think kind of what Marvel did is that I think they set the bar too high and that they've never been able to get back to that, because they pigeonholed themselves into making this like crazy huge universe to where people feel like they can't even go see the movies because they're like, oh, I gotta watch 20 other movies all the way from the first Iron Man in 2004 or whenever it came out. And so it's like, I feel like they've kind of pigeonholed themselves. I'm like, just make a standalone movie. It doesn't have to be related to Spider-Man. Like across the universe. Those not across the universe, across the Spider-Verse, sorry, not the
I do
Beatles.
love Across the
Across,
Universe, though.
I do too. I also like that one. But yeah, like across the Spider-Verse. I love those movies. I thought they were great. I'm like, I could watch them with my kids. They were interesting, they were colorful, they were funny.
Well,
And I'm
do
like, why
those
can't you
movies?
guys do that
Something they did not
in
to
live
well,
action?
with Chicken Run is what I liked, at least on my version that I saw on Netflix. Like the first 3 minutes were like a recap of like, here's what you missed. Do you find they do that in superhero movies? Like, hey, you're about to watch Spider-Man's 14th movie. Here's what you missed. Do you see that often?
Sometimes they do. Like I think like the actual Spider-Man ones, like what's his name? Tom Holland. Sometimes they do like a little bit of callback type stuff. So I feel like some of the movies you probably like, some of the shows, like Miss Marvel. I watched Miss Marvel. You don't have to really watch any of the other stuff to watch Miss Marvel, I don't think. So I think the shows have been better than some of the newer movies. I did go see the Doctor Strange one and the most recent Spider-Man one, and they were fine. They were good. They weren't like amazing. I'm gonna go, write a dissertation about it, but they were good. Like they were entertaining, and I'm like, maybe that's also the thing is like, I don't know. I feel like when they went like the Thanos route, Thanos, however you say it, when they went that route, they just set it too high. They're like, oh, here's every character that you could ever have, and they're fighting this guy who's basically just a universe destroyer. And then after all that, they're like, all right, who do we fight now? Oh, I guess the guy who bends time.
Oh my
Like
gosh,
after that, I'm like, just do like Batman where you're fighting the Joker. You're fighting a guy in a town. Take
I mean
it simple.
the you're
You're
fighting a lady who's starting a chicken nugget factory. So
yeah.
like, let's
Fight
bring it
the
back
chicken
to
nugget
the
lady.
basics. Let's start where we're
Yeah.
at.
They need time for things to kind of cool off and feel fresh again. It's
Yeah.
but and they're giving themselves that. The only MCU movie coming out this year is Deadpool, and that's sort of tangentially related to the MCU, and will probably be a very welcome reset sort of event where, yeah, you're poking at fun at yourself with this just very meta exploration of the MCU the whole new the phenomenon itself. It's being sort of examined in a way that we're realizing that the kind of success they had wasn't going to be sustained forever, so there's going to be some major changes having to be made in order to continue it, on a sustained basis. And so you have a character kind of throw a wrench in things like Deadpool. I don't know, you're hopping across different, multiverse universes, and I don't know, just doing all kinds of resets to the lore. And that's probably what the universe needs, right? The MCU in general. I think it'll be largely successful, especially because it's the only film we're getting this year. And then now, next thing that we get, audiences will feel a little bit more primed for it because there hasn't been as much of a glut. So I think there's some decent hope. That there'll at least be some rekindled enthusiasm. I don't think general audiences need to feel like they've had to see everything in order to keep up with each new film. So there should be enough in each new film to just hold the interest of a casual viewer or a casual fan. But well, that just depends on how well the film and the narrative is constructed on its own. This Deadpool movie, I'm sure it'll have all the Easter eggs and references, but if the plot of this one self-contained movie doesn't hold up, then that will affect the overall reception.
I
So
know.
we'll see.
Hopefully, Hopefully they don't mess it up because I do like Deadpool, but wasn't it that for a while Deadpool movies could not reference like certain like X-Men and stuff like that because they like licensing issues and stuff. So now they
Well,
can, right?
Disney owns 20th Century
Yeah,
Fox,
because they own them. Yeah.
but it'll be just a very different style of comic book film, probably than what we're used to. And yeah, having being able to integrate the X-Men
Yeah.
mythology back into the MCU will be interesting. I'm reading that big MCU book that recently came out, kind of documenting the success of the studio, and now I think kind of getting into some of the more troubled times of late, now that they've they kind of hit their natural peak and conclusion with the Avengers saga kind of wrapping up with Endgame, and what to do with the aging actors and actors that are out of contract. It's fascinating. One interesting tidbit from the movie is that James Gunn would give out cans of Play-Doh to crew members on the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I guess, because
Why?
if I just for recognizing why
Yeah.
they were being no one deserves Play-Doh. Shame on
Well, is it like,
them.
is there like a symbolism? Like, oh, Play-Doh is like malleable and like you're
I think
flexible.
it was recognizing people who brought a sense of like genuine
Fun?
inspiration and play, to the
Oh, I
set.
love that. I'm gonna start giving princesses jars of Play-Doh and be like, you did
Here
good.
Yeah,
You did great.
Here's your check. Here's some Play-Doh.
they made an impression on the
No, I
film.
like that. I think that's actually very cute and very sentimental in a way.
But kind of an interesting connection to the claymation. I'm sure that's the kind of spirit that they aim for with the Aardman films. It's such a monotonous process, but they're trying to inject such vivacity into their overall end result, and a lot of just life and animation. The
And I
illusion
think
of life.
they
Continue.
succeeded with this sequel. I think like it had, like you said, the same quality, the same like labor of love as far as a sequel can have. So they succeed by doing that slower process to bring, you know, a meaty sequel to us.
Yeah,
A good meaty
pun
sequel.
intended.
Well, I like the
I feel like we should
evolution.
have. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bridget.
No. Oh, good. You're good. You're good.
No, I was
I
just
was gonna.
going to say, I wish I had more like chicken or like poultry puns to throw into this one, but motherhood has my brain like a little more scrambled.
Oh yeah,
Ah!
fried maybe.
Thanks, guys.
Scrambled like a chicken with my head cut
Yeah.
off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little fried maybe. Yeah. Well,
No,
that's. I was going to
it's
say, I liked the evolution of the movies. Well, because like you said, you know, being a mom, you like the little baby part. Honestly, the preteen, her being a preteen and she thinks she knows everything, Molly being herself, I was like, man.
You're
Because she was like,
living it.
oh, yeah. She's like, oh, you know, you're just like me, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, why is that so bad? And I'm like, it's only so bad because now I have to fight myself. I have to fight a younger version of myself who thinks they're always right and that they know everything. It's wild. I was like, man, I don't think I've ever thought I would relate to chickens like I do right now. Granted, my kid's never gone into a factory and almost got murdered though, so you know. But also they kept with the chicken puns. My favorite chicken pun was when she was like, Mrs. Tweety had her daughter and she's like, look like you guys or looks like you all ran out of cluck little chickens, and I was like, cluck, not luck.
Yeah.
No, that was probably my favorite one of the whole thing.
Dawn of the Nugget. Well, yeah, interesting character continuity here, and I wasn't sure when Miss Tweety showed up. Would they pull? Disney should just sue, clearly, Netflix for ripping them off. No, the return of the villain from the previous film, years later. Yeah, Miranda Richardson returns as the voice of Miss Tweety. But I was wondering, oh, is this Mrs. Tweety's sister now as the villain, playing on the villain from that Little Mermaid direct-to-video sequel. But no, this film does address divorce and Mrs. Tweety. She still goes by Mrs. Tweety, but I guess it fits with the whole bird aesthetic. She
All we know in the original, she had her first husband take her last name. Like, she seems like the type who'd be like, no, we'll be taking my maiden name as the
yeah,
family
we'll be the Tweeties, actually. Well,
maybe
and
they're
that's
cousins.
well, I like well, that's why I was like, oh, is the doctor? I was like, the doctor. At first, I thought the doctor was going to be like her son, and she's like, no, this is my husband. And I was
Dr.
like, oh,
Fry.
I thought that too. I thought he was
Yeah.
really young and like he was putting on like a fluffy chicken costume, and he compared to her old husband, who was kind of tall and bald and big and old.
When he was like, a homely farmer, and now you have this like, super smart doctor man. Yeah, but I thought it was funny because I'm like, obviously she wants to make money. That's what she was saying when they were on the farm. She was like, I want to make money. I don't want to be like this chicken egg farmer forever. So she was like, I'm gonna go where the money goes. So I'm gonna go with this smart guy. But I had to look it up because I wasn't sure and I could not remember. But at the end of the first movie, the husband like pushes the door like on her, like or pushes something on her
He
that
was
like
over
falls on
it.
her. Yeah, because he was like, oh, you treat me like I'm your peasant. So I was like, honestly, them getting divorced makes sense. But then she was already looking for husband number three. She was like, I'm following the money. I'm gonna go with this rich. So I guess if they do another movie, I'll see. I guess we'll see if she's got a third husband at that point.
And he brings the sauce. Like literally,
Yeah.
he comes and he opens up that little box and she's like, it's sweet. It's sour. What
It's
is it
just,
supposed to be?
it's sweet and sour sauce. You didn't know McDonald's brought back their sweet and sour sauce because people wanted it so bad.
Have a
Sweet and
newborn. Like I don't know.
sour. It's sweet, it's sour. Honey mustard. No, I don't know.
Pretty
Yeah.
much.
No, I was listening to that and I was like, sweet and sour. Oh, sweet and sour. Okay. Okay, I see what they're doing here.
Yeah, they gotta start investing in sauces now as well. So, yeah, the march of scientific progress continues, and we'll find out in Chicken Run 3 if Mrs. Tweety is now teamed up with Reginald from Mr. or
Sir
Sir
Eats a Lot.
Eat-a-Lot. Yeah. And,
It's basically just
yeah.
McDonald's.
Maybe Molly will be the matriarch of the next film, and she'll have kids, and we'll have moved on from that original cast. Or we'll see. I mean, a part of the reason why Ginger's actress was recast is, I think, perhaps due to like that original actress, Julie Swallow, just not necessarily sounding the same as she did back in her,
Yeah, I read
more youthful
that.
days. But
They said that she sounded too old. She didn't sound the same. Because there was apparently like controversy where people are like, that's ableist and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Or, yeah, not ages. You know what I mean? But yeah, because it was Thandie Newton, I think, is who the voice was. Yeah.
Prominent actors that they got to replace the roles. Yeah, Thandie Wade Newton and Zachary Levi.
Which
I guess
interesting choice.
people who have sizable profiles, as well as far as names go. So,
Well, yeah, they got Bella Ramsey. That's her name, right? The
oh
girl
yeah,
from The Dead. What is it?
The
Last of Us.
Last of Us, yeah.
Yeah.
All
I saw
right.
her name and I was like, oh, I know that name. I've only watched like two episodes of that show, but I know that name.
All right. Well, a fun time to be had. Just if you are looking for something to watch on Netflix, so I would recommend definitely taking in some classic old school stop motion animation. Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget may have been eligible for Academy Awards. I mean, it debuted at a film festival, but I don't know. Maybe. And I know Netflix, they do put their movies out limited in some of their
Their
like
repertoire.
in network. What's that?
In their repertoire, like, yeah, they'll like pull things away and put new things out.
Well, they have in network or like studio owned theaters, movie theaters that are owned by Netflix that they'll release movies to,
Wow, I
just
didn't know
Netflix
that.
movies. Yeah,
Yeah, I
and
didn't know that
then
either.
that allows their films to be eligible for awards that require a
That's
certain.
really. Oh, sorry,
So
I'm interrupting. That's really cool. I'm gonna look into that. So, like, when you were living in California, was there any like LA Netflix theater? Like, I feel like that's where they'd put something like that. Obviously, not like Augusta or otherwise.
maybe Atlanta
Yeah, I never went
squishes you.
to,
Honestly.
yeah, I don't think I saw any Netflix movies while I was in LA, but they do own at least one theater out there that does these kind of limited Netflix film runs. I think it's the what used to be called the Egyptian Theater, may still be called that. So that's one example, but I don't
So, did
know.
they do that with Nimona? Because Nimona's nominated.
Yes, yeah, they would have done that.
Oh, no, I didn't know. I saw that because they have it. They like update it, and it's like, oh, Academy nominees, and Nimona was up there. Because when we were talking about their Netflix stuff earlier, I was like, oh, Nimona. I really liked Nimona, and that was from Netflix.
I love that one too.
I haven't watched all of Orion in the Dark, but it's cute. It's a cute movie. It's a cute little watch if you were ever afraid of the dark as a kid.
There's that iguana film, Leo,
Oh
right?
yeah,
That's
that's it's amusing.
okay.
It's funny.
We'll have
It's
to
Adam
check that
Sandler,
out.
so you just Adam Sandler is a iguana.
Yeah,
So
Bill Burr, he's
wow,
in it.
yeah.
That looked interesting, so I might have
Scarlett
to check
loved
it out.
it. She said she was like, that's probably one of my favorite movies on Netflix right now. She's watched it a couple times. It was really funny, and it's even funnier if you're like a 10-year-old because I think the kids are in fifth grade in the movie.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, there's
they are like that age.
a classroom
That's
of young
perfect.
kids. Yeah, and then these are very old geriatric
Yeah, old
reptiles that are
reptiles.
living in this classroom. Yeah, so that'd be fun contrast.
Okay, well, and they interact with the other class pets too, like the bunnies and stuff. And they get to like go home, which I never went to a school where we got to go home with a class pet. I see it in movies. It's never happened for me. That never happened.
For Philip and I, all we ever got to do was they bought us little roly polies to the class, but we didn't get to take them out and they turned into monarchs. But I don't think
Oh.
we ever got to bring home a pet either, which is probably for the best when you think about how kids just
Oh, I would not trust t someone hamster home. I'd be like, hi, you barely know how to wipe your butt. Take home this hamster for the weekend.
okay. Yeah,
Because I do
we had
know. Okay, go
sorry.
ahead.
Yeah, well, we had classroom monarch butterflies, that's true. And then in my sixth grade teacher had hissing cockroaches. That was pretty much it for me.
Yeah, I think I had a teacher who had hermit crabs, but you couldn't like take them. They stayed in the classroom. And then someone had Venus flytraps. I'm like, they're plants, but I'm like, it was cool. You could feed them flies. It was very neat. We didn't get to take them though.
Anything else before we wrap up here?
The last thing I was gonna say was, you know how the corn is like slipping through and like the chickens are like falling into the silo? It made me think, man, I wish I was watching Dune with Timothy Salamander falling into the sand. I never know how to say his last name. It's like Charizard, Chimney
It's
or something.
Timothy Chalamet. You have to say it with an
Chalamet.
accent. You have to say it with an
Chalamet.
accent, or it's not correct. I love hearing him say his name in French because he's like, oh, it's actually Timothy. And I'm always like, oh, you're so cute. You're so cute.
And we've
He's
been
so
singing
cute.
Willy Wonka like all day around here. I hope that you guys have, all you listeners out there, check out Wonka too.
I want to watch it. Is it on streaming
It
yet?
costs $24.99.
It's not on streaming then. Not really.
Someday.
Not yet. We actually just watched Rush Hour with Scarlett. The first one, Rush Hour, Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker. She was like, that's amazing. Why don't they make movies like this? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. They don't do it like they
They
did back then.
did. They did.
They did. They did
Yeah,
it.
there's such a wealth of old movies you can go back and revisit, and I'm constantly going back and checking things out every day, just kind of catching up on my backlog. So that's my content nowadays. That my main source of enjoyment, really. And it's always fun kind of following along with different podcasts, review sources that are, discussing these legacy films or throwback films on their shows. And that's kind of how I stay the most entertained, instead of just trying to keep up with a bunch of stuff that's getting shoveled out there. It looks like
Yeah.
Wonka is officially coming to. Well, yeah, I don't floating around and selecting coming to streaming March 8th,
I saw it in
2024,
Prime. Yeah.
headed to Max this March 8th date. I'm not sure if that's Max or what.
I have to look. 'Cause we've watched a couple different things. We've been doing the old movies because she's like swears she's seen everything ever that's on Netflix and Hulu. So we've watched Kindergarten Cop, Rush Hour, we watched Hairspray, the one from the 2000 somethings, and we watched something else. Oh, School of Rock, the
Oh.
classics, the classics. And I'm like, yeah, she won't watch Jumanji though, the original Jumanji. And I'm like, if you don't
It's
watch it, I'm
scary.
about to. No, I think she thinks it's gonna be like the new ones, and I'm like, no, it's different. It has Robin Williams. You have to watch it at least once.
Yeah, March 8th, Max for Wonka. I did, yeah, think of Dune when they landed in that silo, the way that once the chicken feed starts moving through, they're gonna sink down like there's a sandworm coming in to suck them up.
I mean, it was a grinder. It was ready to grind them up.
Yeah, really freaky. That would be the worst way to go. One of them being stuck in a grain silo and getting sucked through the bottom, just being crushed.
Did
Because
you?
you're, it's just so
Well,
inevitable.
so when the chicken's like, oh, we'd actually suffocate first before we'd get ground up. Did you know that that's true?
Oh yeah,
There
I mean,
are people who have like especially like smaller people.
we had
You know
farm
what I'm
safety courses up
Yeah,
here where I
they
live.
like that was in my
Yeah.
notes too, Philip. That
Yeah.
was in my notes too at Farm Safety Day.
See, we didn't have safety. We have a lot of corn and stuff around here, and they were just like, don't do stupid stuff or you'll die. But yeah, I was like, I remember stuff like that, and so they were like, oh yeah, you'll just suffocate first. I'm like, well, she's not wrong.
That's how they take out a bunch of evil henchmen in the movie Barry, or not the movie, the show, the Max show, if you've seen it. There's a
I want
scene
to
where a
say,
bunch of
I can't remember if I watched all of that. I did watch some of it. But they do that in The Quiet Place too. They hide in the silo in the first one, which they're gonna, did you guys know there's gonna be a third one? It's a
it's going to be a
prequel.
prequel.
It's a prequel. And I was like, okay, sure. I didn't watch the second one. I don't know. It's just too many things. Too many things. I'm like, yeah, the first one was fine. It's not. I'm not as entertained anymore.
That could be interesting premise for like
Yeah.
a like alien invasion, alien apocalypse type of thing.
Well, and it's like in a
Yeah.
city. Like it looks like it's based in like maybe New York, maybe a bigger city, like maybe Chicago or something. But it's like skyscrapers, so I'm like
Well, yeah, it's
interesting.
Cloverfield,
Yeah.
Independence Day type of the, and there was that Amazon movie with Chris Pratt more recently too, had similar thing. What was that even called?
I don't know if I even. Oh, I know what you're talking about, where they go to the future.
The Tomorrow War. That's right, the Tomorrow
Yeah,
War.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So
We've actually watched that. We have watched that. That was entertaining.
yeah.
Although Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt in every movie, so I like Chris Pratt, but he's Chris Pratt in every movie.
Well, I'm gonna head out and end
We covered it. We
the show because
succeeded. This was a successful recording.
no,
Yeah.
this
We
was
didn't eat
very
nuggets,
fun.
though. We didn't eat nuggets while we did
No,
it.
I didn't have time to
Now I have to go
sample
eat some.
them.
To go eat some nuggets now.
Well, until there's lots to cover, and yeah, I've been under the weather, so we've been lax on output lately, but thank you so much, Jody and Bridget, for joining on Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget on the Thodcast, conversations about animation. Well, this was super fun, and I don't know, any other last minute notes on the discussion or the film before we sign off?
Go watch it. It's really cute. I think
Right.
they took the first one off, though, so no refreshers.
Well, yeah, and as far as what to cover next, we've got a few options as well. I know y'all are excited to see the new Dune, so that might
Yes.
be a good
That's next
subject.
on the docket. Once Bridget and I see it, Philip, you've seen it?
I've seen it,
Don't talk
and
about
yeah,
it. We will
no,
reconvene at midnight sometime.
exactly.
Not at midnight, but
Well.
we will come next time we hop on here. It better be about Dune 2.
Yeah, catch us in the dunes.
Dune 2, or I don't know,
Part
when's
two.
Boyne the Heron gonna finally come out too?
Oh, I
I
don't
like,
know. That's an Oscar
it's not
nominated
streaming
too.
anywhere. It's not streaming
It's
anywhere for me
not.
just yet, but
Yeah.
okay,
You think
we'll
it
either do
would be
that or
though?
something.
That Kung Fu Panda 4, maybe a Leo if one of you wants to hop on for that, or
On
the what's
Netflix.
the one about the dark on Netflix?
Orion.
Ryan.
Orion in the
Okay.
Dark. And the Dark, I think, is what it is.
Okay.
But yeah, The Boy and the Heron is a nominee for Best Animation, though. So
Yeah.
you'd think it'd pop out somewhere for people to watch.
Gotta be somewhere.
Keep our
All
eyes
right.
peeled.
Well, cool. Find Thodcast.com at Thodcast on socials, Instagram, X. You can find me at Philip Elke on socials. Bridget, do you want to share social handle? I know sometimes.
Sure. It's Bridget. That's Bridge with a T, 5246 on Instagram.
Perfect. Well, this concludes today's programming, and just don't get caught prowling the grounds of Monsanto because you'll get fried by their various security
Get popped.
countermeasures. You'll get popped,
Yeah.
but like popcorn, and sent over their
Yeah, don't test your
containment wall.
cluck.
You get drowned in the moat by their robotic ducks. They're probably the same as the products that go into the actual food. All right. And everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. You have a magical day, a wonderful week. Warm hugs.